Please stand. I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Mark, chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. It'll be on the screen as well. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up on a high mountain where they were all alone. There, he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Verse 6, he did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. This is God's word. You can be seated. Last NFL season, National Football League, during the season, I discovered a better way to watch the Detroit Lions. Okay? Some of you know I'm a Detroit Lions fan. Some of you are Detroit Lions fans. And you know how long and arduous the journey is to be a Detroit Lions fan. Last NFL football season, I had a very busy season of life. I had big projects, several projects I was working on. And continue to work on that demanded that I needed to be in my office on Sunday afternoons. So the time that the Lions normally play at is 1 p.m. on Sunday afternoons, and I wasn't able to watch them live because I had work to do. But what I learned was I can go on to ESPN, and I can find out, like at 5 o'clock or so, did they win the game? And if they didn't win the game, guess what? I'm not going to watch him on the replay. But if they did win the game, then I would watch them. And I can't tell you how well this worked out. So if anybody remembers the Detroit Lions last season, like the first 6 or 7 games, they were terrible. They lost like every game. Maybe they won one. And so consequently, I didn't waste a lot of time. I didn't waste a lot of mental or emotional energy watching the lie downs, as I like to call them, lose the game. But then as the season went on, they got better and they started to win games. And so I would check in and was like, okay, I'm going to watch the replay. And I can't tell you how wonderful it was. It was just wonderful watching the Detroit Lions. Even if Jared Goff, their quarterback, threw an interception, I'm like, it doesn't matter. Because their team is going to make one more mistake than my team. Or if the Detroit Lions, which they're famous for, committed a bunch of penalties and the other team went down and scored a touchdown, it didn't matter because guess why? I knew, because I knew the score, that the Detroit Lions were going to score more touchdowns than this other team. It was incredibly wonderful. And why is it wonderful? Because future hope, when you know something good is going to happen in the future, it gives you confidence in the present. Now, the Lions are inconsequential, right? This is silly, right? What I'm talking to you about. But hey, do we have any students out there? Raise your hand if you're a student. Just raise them up. Got some students out there. Some of you, you know, you're back from college. You went through finals already. Some of you, you're in high school. You've got some finals coming up. So let's say you're taking a class. And, it's one you need for graduation. And it's a hard class. You've got to finish this class well. you know, to graduate. You got to pass the class. And so you're like, you're nervous about it. You're anxious. You're living in a state of anxiety. And so what you decide to do is like, you're going to look and see. You go through, you find out, oh, the final is worth 30% of my grade. Okay, then you go through all the other grades and you find out, even if I get a 20% on the final, I'll pass the class. Wow. Now, maybe you're putting the bar a little low for mom and dad, but it's like, wow, you know? And just knowing that takes the pressure off, doesn't it? Knowing that you're going to pass the class, it gives you a pressure-free exam to take, right? That's the way I used to look at it anyway. Or maybe you are you're vying for this job at work. There's a promotion opportunity, and it's the one you've wanted for a long time, and it finally came out available, and so you applied for it, you've interviewed for it, and it's still 3 or 4 weeks away from a final decision, and you're nervous about it because you really want this job. You know, it'd be perfect for you, who you are. It'd be perfect for your family. Just so many things would be good. And so one day, you know, you're at the store, it's at night, and you see one of the people from the interview team, and the person comes over and gives you a peek behind the curtain. And they say, hey, we can't formally say this now, but you got the job. You're just like, yes, I've got the job. And it just takes all the anxiety out of your life, because when you know you're going to get the job, you live in peace. You see, your future is bright. That's what this passage is all about. This passage I just read a few moments ago. The disciples are getting a peek behind the curtain. They're getting to see what the future holds and what that is going to do. Those encouraging thoughts of the future are going to propel them through the dark times that are going to come. The suffering that is going to happen in their lives. Now, this event is called the Transfiguration. You might have noticed in the passage it says Jesus was transfigured. And so it's called one of the events of Jesus' life. It's called the Transfiguration. And there's 5 major events. Let me give you those 5 major events of the life of Christ. The first one is the baptism. It's when Jesus follows what God the Father has said to fulfill all righteousness, and he's baptized. And then we have the transfiguration. We'll come back to that in just a second. And then there's the crucifixion, and that's where Christ, he dies for our sins on the cross. He is crucified in our place so that we can be free from our sins. And then the resurrection is where Jesus rises again from the dead and appears, as we've been talking about from Easter earlier this year. And then the ascension is when Jesus ascends up to heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, waiting for the day when he will come again and he will initiate fully his kingdom. So what is transfiguration? Transfiguration, that word comes from the Greek word metamorphosis. It's actually transliterated right over from Greek, metamorphosis, and it means transformation. You see, Jesus became radiant in that event. He's shining brightly, and his clothes are whiter than anybody could bleach anybody's clothes. And what we see is that he has been transformed into his glorified form, the way he will be in his kingdom when it comes to fully be. And so Peter, James, and John, the inner three as they're called, of the disciples, they're witnesses of this. They're getting a peek behind the curtain. They're getting to see what life will be like when Jesus returns and he brings his kingdom into fullness. Because the kingdom is now. Christ is ruling now through his people. It's an already kingdom, and then in one sense, it's a not yet kingdom, because Christ is going to come again. And the passage says that they were frightened. And any time in the scripture you look back through it, when the glory of God appears, there is soberness. There is heightened awareness of what is going on. Everything else seems to fall away. And we kind of see that here. So they're frightened and they didn't know what to say. So what happens when nobody knows what to say? An extrovert steps forward and says something. I kind of relate to this, okay? So Peter, you know, who is known for putting his shoe in his mouth, his foot in his mouth, if you will, he doesn't know what to say, so he says, hey, let's build shelters for everybody. One for you, Jesus, and then also Elijah and Moses have appeared, and one for them, and then let's stay here. And Peter's attempt is to keep the prophets there longer, to keep this going, what has happened. And then the clouds form, and then a voice comes from these clouds, a voice from heaven. And it's God the Father, and he says, this is my Son, in whom I love. Listen to him. Peter, shut up. Peter, be quiet. Listen to what God the Son has to say. And after this event, Jesus leads them all, Peter, James, and John, and he leads himself down that hill, down that mountain, and into the place where they will fulfill their purpose. Jesus is on earth. His purpose is to bring redemption to mankind, to you and I, and to the rest of the world. And the apostles, their purpose is to spread the word about Jesus Christ. And so they've been able to see behind that curtain. You know, they've been able to see what is going to happen. And that future view gives them power in the present. Power to overcome the suffering and the pain and the difficulty that they will undoubtedly incur. So listen up, here's our main point. God gives us future hope so that we will have present power. That's our main point today. God gives us a glimpse of the future. He gives us future hope so that today, right now, in the world you live in the family you live in, you can have present confidence and present power right now. That's why he lets us see. So first of all, here's our first point. God graciously reveals future hope. God does something gracious to us. He lets us get a glimmer of what is possible. And this is grace. It's his kindness to let us see. Now, I use the word reveal, and I'm talking about something that the scripture calls revelation. Like the last book in the Bible is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It's revelation. And what is revelation? Revelation is literally, it means to unveil something. It's like you have a cloth over something, something's covered up, and you uncover it so everybody in the room can see it. And God graciously reveals. He lets us see. He lets us see so that we can have hope. So that we can have future hope. He lets us see so that we can have power today. So this is our first point here, is that God graciously reveals future hope. So let me give you three ways that God reveals future hope. Let me give you three ways. I'll walk through these, okay? The first one is this. God reveals future hope through promises shared. Through promises shared. The Bible is full of promises that God has offered to us that will be fulfilled. The Bible is chock full of them. One scholar says there's over 3,000 different promises in the Bible. If you want the notes, you can text Genesis and ask for the notes. I have an article there that gives like some of the 10 most powerful promises of God. If you're interested in that, you could text and we'll send that to you. But the Bible is full of promises and we need to be students of the Bible. Let me give you just a sampling of some of these. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says this. It'll be on the screen. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you see that? What's the future hope? The future hope is you can be forgiven. No matter what you've done, no matter what people have told you about what you've done, if you turn from your ways, you turn away, which is repentance, and you turn to God, you can be forgiven. You can be cleansed. Do you see what that means for this life? It means that you're clean. You're not held accountable for that eternally. There may be consequences in this world, yes, but you're cleansed from it. You're part of the family of God. And one of the things about being in the family of God, a thread throughout the whole Bible, is this, that God, when you're in His family, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow, doesn't that give you power today to know you've been forgiven? Here's another one, James 1:4. If any of you lacks wisdom, anybody lack wisdom here? Raise your hand if you do. I'm very humble in this, ready to say, I need wisdom. Well, this is what God says. His word says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. What an incredible future promise that, you know, God has all wisdom. And it's for you. He wants to give that to you. His promise, if you earnestly ask for it, not doubting, the passage goes on to say, He will kindly give it to you. Here's another great promise. And these last two are more futuristic, but let me give them to you. They're so hopeful and give us power now. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven in a loud command with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still living and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. This passage says that in the future, if you're in Christ, you will be caught up. If you have died, or if a loved one, I just prayed with someone this morning who, grandpa just died the other day. And the scripture tells us that they will be raised up and resurrected. And what does it say? We will always be with the Lord. Oh, what an incredible promise that really puts the difficulties of this world into perspective. Amen? We don't have to worry. We don't have to live high-pressured lives. And here's the last one I want to read. It's from Revelation, the last book in the Bible. And I heard, and this is John, who is, he's getting a vision of the way things will be, and he's writing it all down. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. Verse 4, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, the old order of things has passed away. This isn't the lion's win. This is God wins. This is God wins. And we have hope because God wins. And His grace and kindness will be poured out forever. And so, search the promises of God. Let me go on to the other two now. God reveals future hope through glimpses of Christ's glory. Now, glimpses of Christ's glory is what we're seeing here in the Transfiguration, okay? So what is glory? Glory is that experiential moment when what we know about Christ, we actually experience. We actually encounter Christ in a powerful way. And you get a glimpse of what it'll be like when Christ fully initiates his kingdom. It's when the veil is pulled back. And it's not just what you know from the scripture. It's actually you've experienced it. You've felt it. Sometimes that happens when we come forward and we pray at the front with our prayer partners. We hear of people talking about, they got a glimpse of Christ. Or when you lead someone to Christ. Let me share one from my life that recently happened about 4 or 5 months ago in one of our gatherings here. God touched my heart in a fresh way. We were singing Waymaker. You might know the song. It's about that God is a waymaker. He makes a way. And there's a part of the song where it says, even when I don't see it, you are working. Even when I don't feel it, you are working. You never stop working. You never stop working. And it just hit me at the right point that morning. It gave me hope about something I've not been hopeful about in a long, long, long time. And it was a glimpse of Christ's glory. Okay? Lastly, another way that God graciously reveals hope is God reveals future hope through vision given to leaders. A vision is a picture of what could be. What could be? One of my favorite examples is Martin Luther King Jr. in his I Have a Dream vision. When God gave King a vision about America living out the true meaning of its creed. I went back and listened to this speech this week. Martin Luther King Jr. said, where his children would not be judged by their color, but by the conduct of their character. And you know, the thing is that God gives vision to men and women about what could be. And as a church, he's given us a vision. He's given us a vision that our church would be equipped, the people of our church would be equipped, would be prepared to engage the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we say it like this, that that's hundreds of individuals and families, Christ-centered, to be gospel carriers. That's the vision God's given us. And God has revealed that that's what he wants us to be a part of. So God is graciously revealing future hope. But there's a problem, my friends. There's a problem, and it's this, that sometimes we go to other sources for hope. Some people go to fortune tellers, you know, or have their palms read. Now, I don't know if anybody does that here or not. I hope not. And even if you're listening in, I just hope you understand from my heart what I'm trying to say here, that hope comes from the Lord. Some of us go to news sources. One night, we rarely watch the evening news, but we happen to watch the evening news one night. And it was, they were going to talk about something and then give some, you know, possible ways forward about this problem. And it went on and on for about 5 minutes. Then they went to a commercial, and my wife, Brenda, said, oh, I thought they were going to share some solutions. And I kind of sarcastically said, no, they don't share solutions. They just share all the problems, you know, about stuff. And that's what it kind of feels like sometimes, doesn't it? Or some of us, we just go to social media like, oh, I need a pick-me-up. I need some hope. And hopefully somebody liked something of mine, or, you know, I can find something. I'm looking for what I'm not sure what I'm looking for, but I'm out there doing it. And no. God has graciously given us his revelation. So here we go. Second of all, future hope empowers your present purpose for Christ. We're going to move quickly here. Future hope empowers your present purpose for Christ. The Lord revealed hope because he had a purpose for those apostles. He had a purpose for Peter, James, and John. And the look into the future was to give them empowerment to do their purpose. What was their mission? What was their mission? Their mission was the sent ones, to go out and spread the good news about Jesus Christ. Apostles means sent ones. Remember, though, Peter, he's like, oh, I'm going to build shelters. And we're going to just stay here and let's just enjoy this. And, let's just kind of really take this all in and let's not go towards what we are needing to do. But they were led back down the hill. And I want you to listen to me. If you're a Christ follower, if you're a Christian, God has a purpose for your life. And it's not comfort. That's not why God reveals future hope, so that you can just be all comforted for your own end. It's not for that reason. It's not so that we can stay safe until our end or the end. Okay? No. We have to go. We have to come to church like this or read our Bible and get encouragement and then go back down the hill and get involved with the purpose that he has for us. Our purpose is not self-focus. It's others-focused. It's no secret that many Americans live worry-filled and anxiety-filled lives. There's no secret about that. Actually, Johnny was telling me this definition. Anxiety is an unawareness that I can live through crisis. That's a great definition. Anxiety is an unawareness that I can live through crisis. When we have a future hope, we know we can make it through anything, and we also know it's not about me. It's about something bigger than me. Okay? And the problem is that we don't sometimes have a purpose sorted out in our mind of what our lives are all about. And so other things rush in. For example, yesterday we went down to Traverse City. Not my favorite thing to do on a Saturday. We went down to Traverse City and we got down there and there was a lot of traffic because it was a rainy day and there was construction and I felt anxious. I'm like, I got to get through this and get us home as fast as possible. And my wife finally said, she goes, hey, this is our down day. She sensed the anxiety, she sensed the cutting off and no birds flew or anything like that. But it was feeling that way. And she said, hey, this is our down day. This is our down day. Let's just enjoy it. And I was like, yeah, that's right. You see how the mission of being the most efficient driver from TC to Petoskey could kind of filter right in there? And does it really matter? No, it doesn't really matter. Jordan Peterson, Canadian psychologist and author, says, the instinct for meaning is the strongest instinct. Do you have an understanding of why you're here? Why God has saved you? It's not to build the biggest business. It's not to have the most money in the bank. What is our purpose? Our purpose is wrapped up in Jesus' work. Matthew 28 tells his followers to make disciples. This is your job and my job, is to help other people become followers of Jesus Christ. That means to walk with them. That means to listen to them. That means to point them. That means to pray for them. You have to have a job and you can do all of this through your job, and I'm not saying that, okay? It's a difficult job. How do we do it? How do we stay on that? How do we fill that? Well, here's the last point. Seek and contemplate God's revelation. This is what I want to encourage you with today. This is kind of the next steps. And I'm going to have Johnny and Zach come up here in just a moment. But you guys can actually come up right now. Seek, of course, means to look for. Okay, and in the Bible, seek means, many times it means to pray. when you're seeking something. So pray for God's revelation. Seek it. And then contemplate means to survey. It means to think about it. Okay? Thoughtfully consider. And so Scripture is to be our highest priority in revelation. Okay? Not someone's personal vision. All vision, like I have vision, it needs to be tested. It needs to be tested by the Scripture. It needs to be tested by our leaders and our leadership team. Because I'm human. I'm subjective, right? But Scripture is not subjective. And so we need to prioritize the Scripture. It trumps everything. Okay? And if our experience is something contrary to Scripture or in conflict with Scripture, then we're wrong. We're wrong. We just had to deal with a case in this in our church family. So now how do you make it happen? How do you make seeking and contemplating God's revelation, how do you make that happen? I'm going to give you a simple way to remember it. A daily reflect and a weekly emphasis. A daily reflect. Every day, spend some bit of time seeking God's revelation. Every day. It could be just a prayer. Throwing up a prayer of seeking. It could be really digging into the Bible. It could be like, how can I leverage my life to help our church reach what we're doing, what God has called us to do? Okay? And a weekly emphasis is, that's the importance of the gathering. This right here, this isn't something new in the last 2,000 years. This is something that the people of God have done for many millennia. Get together and God meets with us as we meet and worship. And so prioritizing this. If God's revelation fills you with hope, with future hope, which empowers your present purpose for Christ, it will propel you through any difficulty you face. It will. Even leading up to death. Some of you know I talk about Tim Keller quite a bit. He passed away on Friday. He was a scholar and a pastor from New York City. And it's hit me hard. New York Times called Tim Keller the C.S. Lewis of our times. And if you know anything about the New York Times, they're not like throwing out lots of nice comments about people like this. I first heard Tim Keller at the National Church Planting Conference in Orlando about 15 years ago. And, you know, it's a meeting with a lot of guys in skinny jeans and poofy hair, which Tim did not have either. Nope. He had a bald head and a geeky look, quite honestly. But he boldly called the leaders there to not be concerned about the amount of people in their church, but about the purity of the gospel and making gospel outreach the prime reason why their church exists. It was a powerful call that touched my life deeply. I still vividly remember that talk. He's been suffering from pancreatic cancer since 2020. This week, just that day, Friday, he was discharged from the hospital, and so a hospice came to his home, and his family reported one of his last prayers. Listen, I'm thankful for my family that loves me. I'm thankful for the time God has given me. I'm ready to see Jesus. I can't wait to see Jesus. Send me home. And one promise I didn't share from the Bible, to be absent from the body, if you're a follower of Christ, is to be present with the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Norm. We are going to do a couple of next steps. And even as I prepare to talk about the next steps, this is just the really practical ways that we can work out what we just learned about in our week to come. As I think about the next steps, I think about being here together right now on Sunday morning in this room with the music, with the family around us. I think sometimes it's easy to like be like, yes, that's my vision. That's what I want for my life, to share the love of God with the people around me. And I was just thinking this as I was sitting there listening. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm about. And then I know that Monday morning comes. And I know that Tuesday afternoon comes. And I know that Thursday night comes. And in those moments, it's like, man, what was that thing on Sunday we were supposed to, like, I wanted to be about, and I was convinced that was the best thing for me, and it was what I wanted to found my life on. I forgot, what is it? In those moments, hold on to the glimpse that we have together right now. This moment. Hold fast to it. There's a poem, his name is Malcolm Guite, and he talks about the transfiguration, and he talks about the Apostle Peter looking up at the cross of Jesus. He's dying. And Peter remembers back to the transfiguration. This is not in the Bible. This is a poem. But it gives me hope. And he says that this present evil, this darkened scar, cannot eclipse that glimpse of how things truly are. So I pray that this Sunday is a glimpse of how things truly are, and that we can take that hope into our week. So, next steps. Number one, acknowledge that my fear and anxiety, because we have it, may have something to do with insufficient future hope and misguided personal purpose. This is an acknowledgement. This is saying, like, listen, if I have fear in my heart, maybe I haven't fixed my eyes clearly on the purpose that Christ has for me. And this is something that you should do with some sobriety, to say, yeah, I'm convinced that that's my purpose. That's what I want to live for. Can I hold on to that? Acknowledge that outright. Second, commit to contemplate the promises of God and to seek the glory of Christ. Norm, break it down for us.
Commit this week. Just give it a taste try. At least the Pepsi taste test was like, just try it once and see if you like it. You know, just try it. Contemplate. Commit to that this week. Set aside 10 minutes a day. And just focus in on one of those promises of God that your heart needs in this season of your life, and see what it does.
Amen. Genesis, will you stand with us? We're going to pray together and then be dismissed to go and be light and hope to the world around us. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for this time that we get to gather together under the one name through which salvation comes, the name of Jesus Christ. God, I just pray in the dark times that will come in this week to come, that we would fix our eyes on you, that we would be filled with a mission and a purpose to know your love and to share your love with the world around us. That is the mission of Genesis Church, to know Christ and to make him known. I just pray that that is something that we are convinced of in this week to come, that we live out in this week to come. Give us strength, God. Give us forgiveness. Give us your grace. Fill us with your holiness. Convince us of your goodness. I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Genesis Church, you can go in the love and the peace and the joy of Jesus Christ today. You are dismissed.